listening to Trending with Timory. National speaker Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. They cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
It's good to be with all of you. In studio with me is Father Tim Grumbach. Some of you may remember him. He's here every few weeks on Trending, and I'm so happy to have you as a regular guest with us.
Oh, what an honor it is to become a little bit more regular and just to be able to speak into what's happening into the world and just, you know, let Christ's victory be known everywhere as best we can.
And I think it's important to remember that theme today because, you know, it's the week of Halloween. Some of you are actually listening to this on Halloween evening, maybe as you're trick-or-treating and running those kids around, or maybe you're on your way home from work and wanting to go home and watch a scary movie.
Yeah, and how important it is to remember that, you know, Halloween, too, is an announcement of Christ's victory, an announcement of the gospel, and it's been twisted quite a bit by our culture, whether you want to blame Hallmark or the demonic. It's something that we need to grasp a hold of again and claim as our own.
Right, and you know, it's neat looking at different traditions because our sometimes Protestant brothers and sisters, you know, are very anti-Halloween. And we also have the old tradition that Halloween used to be that we were scaring away the evil demons with in society, and that's why we dressed up to scare away the evil spirits.
Yeah, and part of it has such deep roots in Catholicism that we forget about is we have All Saints Day coming up.
Yes.
One of the most important days of our calendar as a church, where we celebrate not just the saints that we know, but the saints that we don't know, and know that they're still fighting for us, they're still praying with us, they want to be our friends, that tough, gritty work of friendship. But then the day after is commemorating all of the dead, especially praying for those who still need that purification. But there were those who were worried about those who had no purification and in a way wanted to protect ourselves from the souls of the damned. And then they would get together on this night before All Saints Day and they'd make noise and they'd scare away that which would scare them and say, look, Christ has already won victory. We're not scared of you. Yeah. And we've forgotten that, you know, it belongs to us.
And it's a reminder, I think, these 3 days, Halloween, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, right? We have the church militant, right? We have the church suffering, and we have the church triumphant, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And these 3 days are really a reminder of that. And I think that the modern day celebrations of Halloween really are a trial for the church suffering here on earth, because really we're being tested. And, you know, we're going to be talking coming up on the show. Father Tim and I have been looking at, you know, some of you may remember the Melissa Joan Hart 90s, early 2000s show of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Well, some of you may know Netflix has remade it, and it's now The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We're going to get to that in a second, but chilling to say the least, and you need to hear this. Father Tim Grumbach is the associate pastor at St. Augustine Parish in Los Angeles Diocese, and it's always fun to have him because he too is ready to talk about kind of the more difficult issues in our culture, and we sure are today, because the reality is exorcists are actually speaking up because there's an increase in the demonic. There's an increase in witches coming out and actually putting hexes on people. Like, we're not kidding. This isn't some fairy story tale of, you know, good versus evil. We're living in a world where good and evil are mixed. So we'll be talking about that, how one woman had a major conversion in college after watching a movie, and also how an organ donor commercial brings Jesus in, but for humor, and why that matters to you. Right now, though, Father Tim, this Chilling Adventure of Sabrina on Netflix, I know it's not something we are heartily saying do not watch it, I think would be our first response. But we watched it to kind of get a feeling for how dark this really is, because I was sent over a picture of how you're being invited to the dark baptism of Sabrina on her 16th birthday. And that's how this was being advertised.
Yeah, the idea of a dark baptism, it's just this reminder that the demonic can't create anything. It has nothing new of its own. It can only take what we've been given by God and counterfeit it. And so, you know, all through the series, which we won't be afraid to drop any spoilers because we're not really encouraging any of you to go watch it. I think it's a well-made show. But it requires a maturity of one's faith to hear what's being said. It continually calls the living and true God the false God. and always refers to Satan as the Dark Lord. And even there's one point where they refer to him as the devil, where Sabrina says, but the devil, and she's quickly corrected, as if the devil itself is a dirty word and that you don't want to, you know, besmirch the reputation of the Dark Lord. And so, you know, it requires a real maturity of faith to watch the show, not be caught up in the themes.
And the purpose of watching the show should really only be for the purpose of making sure people know that the reality of good versus evil is a battle. This shouldn't be entertainment. And that's what we're trying to talk about. This streamlines truly the devil as entertainment, that he's not so bad. I'm so shocked, Father Tim, watching this, because it kind of tries to show, you know, Sabrina is this adorable, sweet looking girl who has really great intentions for a lot of people. And it tries to show, like, hey, you can be a good person, but your culture is different from my culture. And Sabrina's culture is that she's half witch, half mortal, and she is about to go through her dark baptism, which doesn't take place with cleansing water, but with the blood of humans, essentially.
The blood of goats, too. And it's a baptism. She was having a conversation with the high priest of their little satanic church in their little town there. And, you know, she had this really strange conversation, but it felt like the same tired arguments about who Satan is. It's, oh, he's just misunderstood. You know, that one interpretation is that he's the bad guy, but really he's not the embodiment of evil. He's the embodiment of what? Free will, of course. Oh, it's the same tired argument about who the devil, oh, I'm sorry, the Dark Lord is. You know, she says, isn't he the embodiment of evil? And the high priest says, incorrect. He's the embodiment of free will. Good, evil, these words matter to the false god. But the Dark Lord is beyond such precepts. Now, it's really disturbing. And so at this point in the season, it sounds like, you know, this is kind of what the writers of the show are backing. Almost like, you know, this is understandable. That, you know, this is almost what we believe. But as the show goes along, you begin to see that, you know, Satan, the Dark Lord, really is the evil one in this show, but there's still a lot of ambiguity because the good characters are, for the most part, still witches and tapping into the, not so much the demonic, but into these sources of power, this grasping for power that's not from God.
And for those just joining us, that is Father Tim Grumbach. I'm Timmery Millington. We're talking about The Chilling Adventure of Sabrina, the remake of Sabrina the Teenage Witch from the late 90s, early 2000s. And this show truly is chilling, but what's so interesting to me is that when they're talking about the Dark Lord, when they're talking about the source of their power, the entire time it is the devil. It is Satan who is the source of everything for them. They have these counter sacraments, as Father Tim pointed to. And, you know, it's interesting because everything is dark, and it points to the fact that, you know, sometimes you do kind of have to get your hands a little dirty in order to do good. At one point, the main character, Sabrina, says, I'm not an evil person, but these are desperate times. And it just shows she's trying to do something good, but she's willing to get her hands dirty. But what's interesting is they kind of try to show Father Tim that even as she's doing this, she's kind of rebelling against the, I would say, leadership and hierarchy and planning of the satanic realm of the Dark Lord, because she's not agreeing to do certain things that are normal, such as just get baptized or just sign the Book of the Beast, which she ends up doing at the end of the season. The season ends, she signs the Book of the Beast. And after she signs the Book of the Beast, suddenly there's more darkness that's entered into her and how she's interacting, but all for the sake of saving other people.
Yeah, it's that that old predicament of, can we do evil in order to bring the good about? And we'll find that, you know, violence will never protect us from violence. More and more violence, it just begins to build on violence. You know, so more and more evil is not going to protect Sabrina in this story, as much as she thinks that that's going to be the solution. I was actually preaching about this yesterday or the day before. And I told my people, you know, it's not because we're prudes about this stuff. It's not because we're trying to hide you from these bad television shows. But we need to be able to know what we're taking in. And, you know, the satanic priests in this show say, oh, it's not really transforming. It's more of a a symbol. It's more symbolic, mm-hmm. as in all rituals and all religions. And so, you know, they're trying to equate themselves with other religions, but also to say, look, this isn't going to change you. It's just legalistic. And that's one of the great warning signs about the demonic, is how legalistic it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just, we just had our Harvest Festival at the parish this weekend, I was telling you, and we had a haunted house. And some of our parishioners were a little bit worried that we were bringing that kind of, you know, theme, that kind of element into our parish. I said, no, don't worry. It'll be just for fun. You know, I just wanted to calm them. And, you know, I think I told them something more eloquent than that. But then I made sure as the weekend was going on that none of that stuff began to creep into what we were putting on for these children to come through.
None of the demonic, none right. of the satanic, nothing right. such as throughout the book. You know, sometimes you and I would say something like, thanks be God, praise God. I was cringing throughout the show as I'm watching some of these episodes, and the main characters, normal everyday looking people, except for yeah, their witches too, would say things like, Satan save us. And calling upon hellfire to overcome fire. And, you know, she talks about, you know, Sabrina at one point was like, oh, you know, I've decided that in reading the Demonicon, I discovered this spell and this is what I'm trying to do. Like, everything is dark about this show.
Yeah, and everything's counterfeit. I'm definitely going to want to talk more about the way that they use Satan's name, you know, in the name of Satan, for Satan's sake. And my least favorite was over and over, praise Satan, where we would say praise God. You know, even when I was taking my notes here, I made sure not to write the whole name of Satan. You know, because I don't want to write those words because they're so legalistic. Let's talk a little bit more about how legalistic the demonic is and how it's not something to play around with.
This is so important that we're having this conversation. You do not want to miss what is taking place. Thanks be to God, I'm not going to bed tonight with nightmares because, you know, fighting to stay in a state of grace really protects us here.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
We're talking about witchcraft and the demonic, which we're going to be discussing later on, actual witches who put a hex on now Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. And that's coming up. But right now, you may remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It is now remade, The Chilling Adventure of Sabrina. Father Tim, they are saying things in this show such as, and God forgive me for saying this, I'm just repeating it for the sake of you knowing what's in this show. For teens, by the way, things like praise be Satan, Satan save us. It is a really dark show.
Yeah, I wish we could just kind of laugh off that whole thing about putting a hex on Kavanaugh and just say, oh, that's no big deal. It's just, you know, people having fun and, you know, people who are upset doing something that's powerless. But the church has never said that witchcraft is a powerless thing. But even through scripture, we have these images of witchcraft, the supernatural, the demonic, and you know, so our faith is not one that limits the spiritual realm to just God versus Satan, or just angels versus demons. But there's more that God allows, but that we need to ask His protection for.
Right.
And so this isn't something that we can just laugh off and say, oh, that's no big deal.
And there's a big difference, and we have to distinguish this. A TV show kind of makes it seem two ways. One, that talking about the demonic is just entertainment. It's not real. Then here, Father Tim and I are saying, no, the demonic is real to the extent that is present in that show. No, a lot of it, not necessarily or not at all.
Not always.
Not always is the other part too. But there is such a thing as a demonic presence. And I know it's scary to think about, you guys, but think about this. We have, you know, the choir of angels, the heavenly kingdom. Well, there are fallen angels that prowl about the world seeking the ruin and destruction of our souls. That is a biblical, right? St. Peter writes about this, and it's so important that we remember that. And man, I'm like wanting to be like kind of just, I need a blessing after having watched this show because we are woken by this show.
Yeah, and we have to start by saying what is the best way to protect ourselves against this in our daily lives, regular prayer life. You know, frequenting the sacraments, a regular confession. daily Eucharist if you can, that the protection is there. The church isn't hiding protection from us. The church is saying, come, come to the altar, come receive, God's very life. Don't give your, don't invite any of this stuff into your life when the living God wants to invite you into his. Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of the regular and daily life, is so often, even if it may not be a really active faith, atheists themselves might say, oh, praise God, just as this exclamation of, oh, something good has happened. And it becomes such a regular and quick part of our life. And that's creeping its way into this show, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, as well as we're talking about the way that the language is used. And they'll often say, oh, praise Satan. And I wanted to just laugh that off, like, oh, that's so counterfeit. That's just silly. But I got thinking more and more about how counterfeit and how awful it is to say something like that, and how, Satan not only doesn't deserve our praise, but is incapable of receiving the kind of praise that we give to God. So mm-hmm. I was thinking a lot about this, is what does it mean to praise God? What does it mean to pray to God? And would Satan be capable of receiving that which we give to God? And I say, it's impossible for him to receive the kind of praise that we mean when we say praise God. So what do I mean by that? The praise of God we give, I would say it's not even something that we give to God. I say it's something that God gives to us. So when we praise God, when we pray, for example, if you spend a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament and you come out of it and say, God, look at this gift I just gave to you. Aren't I great? And you say, no, I'm the one that gave that to you. And so
you're
God is
giving it back to me. You're cooperating and giving it back to me.
Yeah, we receive it and we give it back to God, and that makes us fully human, and it invites us into his life. That's what praise is. Praise is receiving that gift and that time from God and offering it back to him, and that makes us fully human. God creates something in us so that we might praise him, so that we might be who we were created to be. Satan is incapable of that. He cannot create anything. That's why everything that he does and everything we see in the show is counterfeit, because it can only take from what God has created good and disrupt it and decay it and counterfeit it. So Satan is incapable of receiving the kind of praise that we give to God, because he can't create in us that desire for praise. He can only make a deal with us. God receives our praise. Satan can only take it. God doesn't fight his way into our lives, force his way into our lives. He gives us that free will to receive him or to deny him. But ultimately, the praise of God makes us more fully human, and so more fully like God. But to say that we could praise Satan, he can't create that in us. He can't give it to us. He can only take it from us. And that's what a lot of this show has to do with, is, these people making these deals. And, but they also even see, baptism in that same way.
And when he's talking about making deals with Satan, okay, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make a commitment here for the sake of that. It's basically a show about constant compromise with the devil. You're in bed with the devil to make this happen or to make that happen.
And it's so legalistic. There's even a courtroom scene in one of the middle episodes.
Okay, so here's a perspective I had on it. So here, there's this entire show that is clearly dark, the source mm-hmm. of everything, the Dark Lord, as they call him, who is Satan. There's this tie-in, but the entire thing is really pointing to hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And it's an exact mock of the Catholic Church's hierarchy. And Grant, I think a lot of us have a lot of problems with the Catholic Church's hierarchy today in terms of corruption, sexual abuse, homosexuality among people who have taken, vows to priestly celibacy, the way money has been moved around. We could go on and on. But taking a step back from our current anger and really wound of the church scandal, looking at this, what they're showing in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix is essentially what the Catholic Church is, but flipped mm-hmm. with demonic sources, evil intentions. And it's almost as if, some people could say it's like a coordinated effort right now in the world. And yes, it is a coordinated effort by the demonic to show your church, that hierarchy, is crumbling. Mm-hmm. It abuses and harms people. And here's another TV show that celebrates and normalizes the demonic and says, look at, we have exactly what your church has, and look at how evil it is, and look how you need to, kind of fight against it. And sure, you could have your hands somewhat in that world, but not fully.
Yeah, it asks, do you want that power? And what are you willing to give up to get it? And they keep asking Sabrina
that exact question, repeated again throughout the show.
Right. And that's what she's fighting for. She's fighting for her freedom. She doesn't want to hand herself and her soul over to the Dark Lord. She wants to keep her freedom. And she says, why can't I have both freedom and power? And one of the other characters in the show says something very telling. It says, oh, the Dark Lord would be terrified of letting you have both. And she asks, why? She says, well, he's a man, isn't he?
And that's another theme of the show. Yeah, right. They're really fighting against oppressive, controlling individuals, institutions, and they really push back against men. Actually, in the last episode, so the head of the demonic church on Earth, his wife gives birth, and two babies are born, but one of the aunts of Sabrina actually delivers a baby, and the firstborn baby was actually a baby girl, and so she hides the baby girl and doesn't tell the high priest.
Because he wanted a boy,
that he has a girl. She takes the girl and takes the girl home because she goes, we know what would have been done if he knew that firstborn child was a girl. And I'm like, hello, that's what you're sitting here advocating for women and women's rights. This is what's happening for real in China, in India, all over the world, where baby girls are aborted for being the firstborn. Or for in not never being born, but only being within the womb developing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible that these tie-ins that they have, that some of it is real.
Yeah. And it doesn't speak just to the demonic world. It speaks to our regular world, doesn't it? You know, and I can't get over this thought of how legalistic these witches and the demons are in the show. And I think they nail that. I think it's a very clear indication of what's really happening in the spiritual battle. Is not to say that you know legalism in a healthy sense has no place in the church. You know, we speak of God's law, the great Torah. God established a law so that we might become more fully human. We're going to be hearing that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, where the reading is the great commandment of loving God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. It's and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, there's a place for law in our relationship with God. But you talk to so many exorcists and read so many of their works, and they'll tell us the demonic is strictly legalist. Strictly legalist. They don't care if we're joking. They don't care if it's just our entertainment. They're going to try and creep their ways into our life. God won't force himself into our life, but the demonic will. So, you know, as I was mentioning, you know, with our little haunted house at our parish this last weekend, I was wandering through, you know, in the middle of the day just to kind of, you know, see how it is, see how the kids are enjoying themselves. And I noticed one of our teens had, I don't know which one, had traced a pentagram into our dusty mirror. And, you know, not with any evil intent. You know, they just said, this is the kind of scary stuff that, you know, we want to use to scare people because that's what we usually see. So I went quickly and just, you know, rubbed it out of the mirror. Said, we really don't need this. I didn't tell anyone. I just, you know, just quietly did it. We don't need to draw attention to it because the demonic doesn't care if we're joking. It's like, you've invited me in. Okay, I'm coming in.
I'm here.
And then, you know, there's so many rules that apply to exorcism rites and to liberation prayers that they will follow the rules because they're so strictly legalistic, because the mercy of God, though there is a place for the law in it, is not as strictly legalistic as the demonic. And so it's a counterfeit of God's mercy and God's love.
Explain what you mean by the demonic following the legalistic. Tease that out a little bit.
Yeah, what I've heard, what I've read a little bit, and I guess we can, you know, go into this a little bit more, is the idea that, for example, if you're in somebody else's house, the demonic will only, in a way, sometimes answer to the people who own that place, or they give a special authority to those who own that place. So if you're in you know, your mother's house, that they have attached themselves to that place, they will follow the rules. They will lie, but they will follow the rules because they know no aspect of mercy outside of the rules themselves.
So what you're saying is when a demon is possessing an individual, if that person is kind of trying to take power over and command the demon away, that someone can actually say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my body, to leave me alone.
And only in the name of Jesus.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
Father Tim Grumbach is with me. We've been talking about, in light of Halloween, the demonic witchcraft. I've been teasing it out. We're going to be talking about a real hexing, a curse put on Brett Kavanaugh by witches in Pennsylvania, actually. Wasn't it done in Pennsylvania as well? There's a lot coming out of Pennsylvania, I think, over and over again. Like, hey, they need a full statewide exorcism. But I want to talk for a second. We've been discussing the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, remake of the late 90s, early 2000s. 2000s, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and it's dark. If you have not been with us throughout this episode, please head over to radiotrending.com to listen to the full episode, because you need to be aware of what's kind of going on as normal, a normal TV show for teenagers, actually.
Yeah, we can't particularly endorse it. That's why we're not offering the spoiler alerts. We're just throwing it out there because we're not going to encourage you to watch this show, but to be aware of it. And if you watch it, to just approach it with as mature a faith as you can, to understand that a lot of what is put forth, it's the lies of the devil made common and presented as, you know, as just something regular that can be used for entertainment.
And just following back up, in the name of Jesus, if you are ever struggling, even if you're battling a temptation at the time, a temptation, whether you're maybe looking at pornography, maybe you're feeling a strong tendency to lie or to steal, you know, I'm using basic examples, but any of that, sometimes that can be a demon tempting you. A lot of the time it is. And I remember I was taught a long time ago by a priest, you can say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, you know, this demon of lust, be gone. In the name of Jesus, what is tempting me to sin right now, be gone. And just saying the Lord's name over and over again really allows our Lord to take back command over what is trying to take control of your life.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to enter into a liberation prayer and deliverance prayer, and to be freed from these spirits, which aren't all the time, you know, these personal forces fighting against us. But we can speak of, you know, the spirit of lust, the spirit of, you know, temptation, the spirit of violence, these things that have attached themselves to our lives without us naming them, and we still give power to them. That, you know, it begins from a place of faith that we have a God who wants to free us from these things. Yeah. And then we have to be repentant of our sins, the things that keep us from receiving God's love and his mercy. You know, what things are we holding on to our lives that are keeping God's mercy from reaching into our lives? And then we also have to be able to forgive others.
Right.
That a lot of the time, that's the prison we hold ourselves in.
Rancor, resentment.
Yeah, and we become unable to release, you know, ourselves from these unclean spirits of whatever it is, lust or violence or stealing or whatever it is. We can't get rid of these things because we're holding on to something that won't allow us ourselves to be forgiven.
Sorrow, self-pity, you name it. We're going to come to how to further protect yourself against this in light of the real cursing that took place this past week of Brett Kavanaugh. But I want to speak very briefly. You know, there's a lot of, there's a big uptake, I would say, after the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter movie era, not just when the books were published, but movies of, you know, things like werewolves and the demonic and movies and literature kind of having a similar theme. Those who watch the show regularly know I love the Harry Potter books. We've talked about this. We've had actually a really deep conversation on the Facebook Live content as well about this. You can look it up on YouTube as well. But there's a big difference between, say, Harry Potter and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Now, I would absolutely say that The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina have been in some ways Potterized, as some people are calling it. And when we say, and you bring elements of Harry Potter, that the darkness that is conquered by Harry Potter and the good is actually, the darkness is brought in, is even darker here in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And a difference between Harry Potter and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is this. Harry Potter, there's always a clear distinction between what is good and what is light and what is dark and what is bad. In The Chilling Adventures, in the light conquers the darkness. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the ultimate message of Harry Potter is that life-giving, self-giving love is what will conquer what is dark. And here in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, every source of even the actions that appear good, every source of that quote-unquote good action is darkness, is the demonic. That's a really big difference. And that's a theme in television in all heroes today, Father Tim, that all heroes today kind of get their hands a little dirty. There's no pure hero. Mm. And grant, we know people are sinners.
Right.
But, you know, it's like there's a compromise to make something happen always.
That's right. And we'll see it in so many ways in modern movies, modern stories, is like you said, that heroes have to get their hands dirty. And we might recognize that as being a real part of human life, is that, you know, what hero in this world, even the saints, you know, had their mistakes, their faults, their own sins. And so we know that even the greatest heroes among us, you know, had to get their hands dirty in some ways. And they're trying to bring that into literature and into movies to say, oh, it's more lifelike, it's more real. But then we don't have the pure heroes to look up to strive to be like. We just have to admit, well, I guess sin is a part of life, and I'll just live with that.
And we're forgetting yet again, I think I talked about this just the other day on the show, Christ said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He believed, he didn't believe, he knew, he's God, that you could be perfect. And you know why? Because he gave us the Holy Spirit. And if only we were to invite him in.
Yeah, getting ready for All Saints Day and just looking at the example of all the saints in our lives and in our world and in our history, I find myself thinking, you know, I know it's not all about my effort, not Pelagian here, but there's a lot of effort I don't give. I found myself looking at examples like St. John Paul II and looking at his heroic prayer life and saying, why am I not like that? You know, I don't have his intelligence. I don't have his charisma, but why don't I pray like he did? And sometimes I think it's just, I don't want it. I have to admit that and be honest about that. You know, there are other things I prefer more than spending hours in the, you know, in front of the tabernacle like he did. There are things I prefer over prayer. And I think we can all admit that at some point in our hearts. You know, so there's a level to which we just don't want sanctity. And so we choose other things. But there's a level where, you know, God will raise up saints to that level of sanctity. And it's not something that we do in ourselves. We were talking about praise of God. Praise of God is not something that we just do, just choose to do. It's something that God does in us.
And we cooperate in because ultimately it is him working.
Right. And so we're looking at a lot of these things and seeing how is good going to triumph in our lives? Yeah. We believe as Catholics that it's because the Holy Spirit's the one working in us. But we look at something like this, and I know you didn't see it because it's in one of the later episodes of this season of Sabrina, that they have an exorcism scene. And they actually admit, no, we can't do anything about it because we're witches. Only a Catholic priest, only a Catholic male priest under the authority of Jesus Christ can cast out these demons.
Amen.
They say this about, these are the witches saying this. But then one of the witches says, oh, but Sabrina, your dad did write an exorcism right for witches. And so they go in there and they do it and they call on the names of all of their witches from the past who've died. And, in the authority of their names, they cast out a demon. And so it's interesting to see that they stick with that element of they can't do it themselves. They need the help of others. This kind of counterfeit communion of saints. But it's quite interesting that they say the only exorcisms that work are male Catholic priests who speak in the authority of Christ. And so they admit, even as witches, that they can't do this on their own. It's a very strange moment in the series.
So. A show we absolutely would not recommend, but really important to discuss, look at the real life tie-ins, what we're facing, kind of themes in the culture. We've been talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. So go back, check out radiotrending.com or Facebook and YouTube, where you can see Father and Tim's face here, basically our faces here, discussing
most
these
of
issues.
My face.
The beard. I want to talk here about the exorcists who have commented essentially on these groups who have come out over the last few years performing curses on different figures they disagree with. You know, you heard about the witches. You may have heard a bunch of witches who had put a curse on President Trump a few years ago.
Yes, heard about that.
And now there are a group of witches who on October 20th sold out seats. This invitation sold all their seats. It was a group of about 60 of them who went ahead and performed another curse, but this time on Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his family.
Yeah, and it's something that we said at the beginning of the show. It's not just something to laugh off. This is something to be taken seriously. And we have these exorcists who are coming out, these priests, these Catholic priests who are saying they're saying masses for Kavanaugh and for his family, that they're offering the St. Michael's prayer over and over again and just doing everything that they can under the authority of Jesus Christ himself to be rid of these hexes and to ask protection for Kavanaugh. And it's, we're not talking merely for political reasons. We're talking about this is a beloved son of God, and whether you agree with his politics or not, to call on demonic and even satanic powers to fight against this person who is created in the image and likeness of God, that is giving in. That's a grasping for power and a loss of freedom.
You know, even if he wasn't a Catholic, which Brett Kavanaugh is, and I understand quite a holy man from what I've come to understand from people very close to him, Brett Kavanaugh, no matter who it was, we should not be okay with any type of curse being put in place. You know, it's interesting. Exorcists are commenting on this, and they're talking about how before it used to be, you know, witches and kind of this witchcraft and the demonic celebration were basically secret groups. But now it's an assumption that the public accepts them. Mm-hmm. And also this is a freedom of religion and that they can just do these public sacrifices, public witchcraft. And it's no big deal for this to be seen as public because, again, it's freedom of religion.
I'm so glad you brought that up, the whole freedom of religion thing. And while we fight for that as Catholics, I feel like that is the number one weapon that, you know, Satanists and Satan himself would use to say, oh, but it's freedom of religion. It's legalistic. This must be allowed. So this must be seen as on equal footing as your religion. And so they seek this legalistic equality in order to further their dark ways. And it seems so appropriate to me.
People think the demonic and God are not real. And so what's the big deal if this culture practices that and that culture practices this? It has no influence. But we're going to come back telling you what these exorcists have said about the impact after a curse. Gosh, like how could anyone say that? We're going to talk about how we can stand up to that.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Father Tim Grumbach is my guest host today in studio. So good to have him. And we're talking about, in light of Halloween, the demonic and the public exorcism performed on, or not public exorcism, he needs an exorcism, the curse performed on Brett Kavanaugh, and how we can, you know, exorcists have come out saying, hey, like this stuff is real. And the demonic, the witchcraft is lifting its head because it's more acceptable now to do it in public. But this exorcist talked about how if you are in a state of grace, when a curse is placed on you, when you're being tempted by the demonic, it has little to no effect on you.
Yeah, we talked about it just a few moments ago. Is that what's the best protection against the demonic and the satanic? You know, a regular prayer life, intimacy with God, regularity and familiarity with the sacraments, going to confession, saying this is the stuff that's keeping me from God. It's keeping me blind to God and blind to my neighbors, and regular reception of Holy Communion to burn away all those venial sins that we're holding on to that are keeping us from God. And so if we have this intimacy with God, there'll be no space for the demonic. You know, this darkness can't survive with the light. You know, we say God is light. You know, it's the first letter of St. John says, God is light and there's no darkness in him. You know, they simply cannot coexist together. You know, either, you know, if we keep this darkness, God is either going to banish it or be kept out by it. Yeah, it's incredible the way that, you know, we don't need to go around performing exorcisms on everybody who claims to have, you know, have some experience of the demonic. But what we have to do is just invite people into a regular prayer life, and so that God is the only one invited in to our lives. And we're not inviting these things into our life, but God is inviting us into his.
And it's not just a regular prayer life, Father Tim is pointing to. It's a sacramental life. Mm. Because if we are in a state of mortal sin, such a grave sin that darkens our soul and ultimately separates us from God, we need to be brought back into communion with God. Just as God reopened the gates to heaven when the gates had been closed by the power of the cross, when we commit mortal sin, we close that gate on ourselves. And we have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation for Christ in persona Christi. That means in the person of Christ working in that priest, just like Father Tim does this on a daily basis, he works to intercede through God to remove those sins. They are gone by the blood of the Lamb.
And it's so tremendously humbling, I must say. But we got to keep our eyes on what Christ is doing in us, and that's the protection we seek. And so I don't know if you ever saw the movie, the Exorcism of Emily Rose, I believe it was called.
I couldn't watch it. See, this stuff scares me half to death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, seeking protection against these things and knowing that we are protected against them and having courage against them doesn't mean that we're not scared of these things. We should be scared of these things. You know, like the letter of St. James says about the demons is that, well, they believe in God too, but they tremble. And so if even the demons are trembling in the midst of this, it's okay for us to have a certain fear about this. But courage isn't having no fear. No, courage is having fear, but going into those places anyways, knowing what God is going to do in us. And so, you know, that I think that sums up my priesthood is, yes, I'm afraid of going into all these broken moments in people's lives, but I'm going to go anyways because Jesus has already gone there. And so I think that's what our exorcists will say, is that this is not something to take lightly and to not be afraid of. This is something to be afraid of, but we go anyways because the one who has authority over it has already gone there. And it's his authority that we use and his love and his mercy that we reach into these places. So we go into these places. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. It's another well done movie. Great acting, great production. It's a very interesting movie to watch. But theologically, I have so many issues with the way that they present the demonic. By the end of this story, this young woman who has been going through a terrible trial of exorcism has an encounter with our Blessed Mother. It's really a beautiful moment because you really don't see this in very many exorcist movies, is that, God actually makes himself known. God is, in these exorcism movies, just this distant force, while the demonic makes itself present and makes itself known and physical. God just seems to be, distant and almost not caring and just giving us these rituals to deal with things. And that, so I have a problem with that. But at the end of this story, this young woman has an encounter with the Blessed Mother. And she tells her why she's been suffering with the demonic. And what she tells her is that this was the only way that people could know that the demonic is real. This is a young woman who, frequents the sacraments, has a regular prayer life, has intimacy with God, but the demonic has still attacked her. And Mary, at the end of this movie, says, well, it's because we just had no other way to tell the world that the demonic is real. And I have a lot of issue with that because, the rock solid tradition of the church, the protection against exorcism, tells us with surety that the greatest protection is a regular prayer life and frequenting the sacraments and intimacy with God so that there's no space for the demonic to come in. But this movie is telling us, well, God almost used Emily as a tool to make the demonic known. And I have a lot of issue. I take a lot of issue with that. And I'm sure a lot of exorcists do as well. There's something comforting in that, I suppose, is that God never abandoned her. Mary was always there to be close with her, and Emily Rose takes on this heroic quality of suffering for the good of others. But we can't take that as gospel truth, that she has done everything to protect herself, but she still gets attacked. In our daily lives, we don't need to go through extravagant measures to protect ourselves against the demonic. That's called scrupulosity.
Well, and that's why, for example, as best we can, daily reception of Holy Communion is important. Yeah. I have made it a major part of my daily prayer life and practice, receiving communion to be forgiven of the venial sins. Mm-hmm. I try, and I'm not saying this, hey, this is what I do, but because we're in a spiritual battle and I need to be transformed so that I am not tempted, reception of going to reconciliation, how important that is, of being forgiven of my sins, of being aware of the smallest little sins or trying to be aware of them. Yeah. The more you go to confession, the deeper you dive into your interior life, the more aware you are of different areas of sin in your life. If you're trying to combat them, at least going to confession, I would say once a month, mm-hmm. at the very least.
Constant protection, constant desire to have these venial sins burned up. One of my favorite passages from St. Faustina's diaries is this moment where she is not receiving communion because she's afraid of her venial sins keeping her from Jesus at that moment. And he appears to her and says, my daughter, those things, those venial sins in your life, they burn up in the fire of my love in the Eucharist. Mm. She's not saying, go ahead and commit mortal sins and then come to me and everything will be okay. But he says, no, be aware of these venial sins. Yes, but know that I want to burn those up like chaff in the fire of the Eucharist, the fire of my love in the Eucharist. And so I often bring that into confession with me and just to renew my heart and renew the hearts of those who come to me to remind them, look, Jesus wants you to receive him in communion. He wants you to be ready to receive him in communion. He wants you to be in that state of grace. This isn't just some benchmark that we put into place to make sure as few people receive communion as possible. Jesus wants us to receive him. It's a beautiful moment in the life of St. Faustina that continues to pour God's mercy into our church.
And maybe you don't know the distinction between venial and mortal sin. Maybe you're saying, you know, I actually don't know. And yes, sin is sin, but there are sins that are much worse as well, and culpability, and maybe you should have known and you didn't know, and then you have more culpability because you should have known better, you know. And I think that if you don't, you, all of us should own a Catechism of the Catholic Church and read it frequently.
Daily.
Daily, yes. And you can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Part 4, starting at paragraph 1854. If you don't know how to read it, ask the priest after Mass, or ask someone. Maybe we'll do a short video on how to do that one of these days. But you can, and starting at paragraph 1854, running down, what is the distinction between a venial and mortal sin? What is considered grave matter? What am I culpable for knowing and not for knowing? And so much more could be said, but that's just a little reference for you to check out. I want to talk here briefly two things. One, starting on a kind of ending on a lighter note, especially there was a movie that came out over the last few weeks. We've been talking about it on the show, called Gosnell. And Gosnell is a story of a notorious abortionist, serial killer, who killed many children actually alive, killed them after they were born. But then also he killed one woman as well in after abortion procedure. And we could go on. He was selling drugs. And this movie tells a story. And it's interesting because over 200 theaters have randomly stopped showing the movie, claiming it was sold out or whatever, because it's so powerful. It's changing lives. So much so, a young college student's life has been changed. She is no longer pro-abortion. She left that theater being pro-life.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm really hoping to soon, but everything I've read about it and everything I've heard about it, it just, you know, it comes back full circle for our whole conversation here, is that how could that not be demonic? And then how could the demonic just sit back and wait for this movie to come out and wait for all of this darkness to be exposed to the light? So it very much has a lot to do with what we've been talking about already.
Absolutely. In this movie, Gosnell, his whole story takes place in Pennsylvania. He was performing abortions in just a simple red brick building. And a correction earlier to my statement, the hexing took place in New York, I believe. This is in Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's interesting because this young woman, Kathy Zhu, walked into the movie, just going with a bunch of friends, didn't really know whether or not she was interested, went with them. And before, she thought the government shouldn't be interfering with our lives through what they say should be outlawed with abortion. But she came out really being pro-life. And I think that movies like this give the opportunity to see into, again, the darkness, the demonic of the abortion industry, to reveal that there is light, there is truth, and human life matters.
Yeah, and what else is going to be able to speak into this other than the gospel itself? You know, I'm a political cynic. I trust very little about politics. And it's, you know, going to interfere with our life, whether we agree with it or not. And even if we agree with it, it's going to interfere with our life.
That's Father Tim Grumbach. Join us on the next episode of Trending at radiotrending.com. We'll be talking about what would happen if men had IUDs, what it really looks like if you have an IUD, and much more.
This has been Trending with Timory. To learn more about Timory Millington, visit timory.com.